from the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on another Work From Home Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, financial assistance for nonprofits, police take extreme action against a pro-life friend, and a report from a pastor on how his church is ministering to others during a time of social distancing. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and homeschool dad. In the recently passed set of stimulus bills that came out of Washington, there was a pretty big chunk set aside for small business owners just to be able to keep paying their employees even if their jobs were considered non-essential. And while the money was for all small businesses, some banks were trying to prevent nonprofits from accessing that money. Joining Tony Perkins on Tuesday to talk about it was Representative Mike Johnson from Louisiana.
Congressman Mike Johnson, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, it's always a pleasure. You're doing great work.
Well, thank you, and you as well. I know that, in fact, we were on a call Friday afternoon or Friday morning with pastors across the nation discussing this, and even at that time, the clarity, in fact, we got information that the pastors were getting in real time from talking to bankers and others. We were able to take that information, you were able to take that information, and get clarity from the SBA by Friday night.
We were, by God's grace. I mean, the SBA, I'll tip my hat to the administrators there. They've just done a phenomenal job. I mean, we've asked them to do something that's almost impossible, and I know that you've had a lot of discussion about that on the program already, but they deserve credit. You know, Scripture says we give credit where credit is due, honor where honor is due, and there's some honor due there. There's some glitches in it, but this is one that they fixed pretty quickly, and hats off to Treasury Secretary Mnuchin as well, who's just helped us bird dog this, and the president himself, who tweeted about this issue over the weekend.
Right.
I don't even know if you saw that, but we were able to get it clarified. We're really grateful. This was a bipartisan effort, and while we're giving honor, I'll give a nod to Democratic Whip James Clyburn out of South Carolina, and my Democratic colleague Cedric Richmond out of Louisiana, and our Republican Whip Steve Scalise. The four of us jumped on that to get this clarification and make sure first that churches are included as all other nonprofits, which is a new thing. A lot of lenders are not used to dealing with 501c3s in an arena like this. But then we had to get further clarification to make sure that even small and independent houses of worship could not be unintentionally excluded from receiving this aid if they didn't have one of those IRS tax exemption determination letters. So the long story short is the good answer is that it's all resolved now. You don't need that. You can proceed. And if you need this assistance, then you're just as eligible as all other small organizations and businesses.
And Congressman Johnson, there were some other significant aspects that were clarified in the process as well. And there was, frequently asked questions document that was put out by the SBA. In fact, pastors, church leaders, that'll be on my website, TonyPerkins.com. But no religious organization will be required in any form or fashion to sacrifice its autonomy or First Amendment freedoms under this program. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And thanks to the hard work of a lot of people, the SBA, of course, published its interim final rule on Friday evening or Thursday evening, it was. And anyone can pull that up. And I know you'll have it attached at your website. I have it at mine. It's everywhere now. Mine's mikejohnson.house.gov, by the way, is a kind of a clearinghouse for all this frequently asked questions documents. But yes, in the interim final rule at page 27, if anybody wants to go and look and read it for themselves, We got language included in there that says that all loans guaranteed as a part of this program and through the CARES Act have to be made consistent with constitutional, statutory, and regulatory protections for religious liberty, including and specifically lists the First Amendment, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and SBA regulations on point. So that's a great sigh of relief for a lot of persons. I had a lot of church leaders, pastors, evangelists who are all the sort of automatically leery of government overreach, as we all are and we all should be at all times, right?
Yep.
And they said, you know, Brother Mike, hey, is this, Congressman, is this going to, are there going to be strings attached? You know, is this going to change the rules for my ministry and how I relate to, you know, hiring practices or what I say or do? And I said, absolutely not. We got it clarified. It's in writing. And by the way, pastor, friend, evangelist. If you hear otherwise, you let us know immediately, and we'll jump on that, because that is not the intent of the Congress.
Right. And so my response to pastors and other ministry leaders who have asked about this, you know, as it's unfolded, is, look, you know, pray about it. You know, ultimately, you've got to, you know, follow the Lord's direction on this, but there are no strings attached. As I was just describing earlier with the minority leader, Kevin McCarthy, the government told these churches not to meet. They told the businesses to shut down. And this is to keep people from being put into the unemployment lines, to keep the economic engine idling until we can get through this crisis.
That's exactly right, Tony. And I've had to make this same explanation and summary for people for the last couple of weeks. As you know, and some of your listeners know, I chair the Republican Study Committee. It's the largest caucus of conservatives in the House. These are all the fiscal hawks. You know, we're the ones that are constantly advocating for limited government and less government encroachment and involvement in our lives. But this is an extraordinary situation. This is a pandemic. As the president rightfully said, we're in a war against an unseen and unforeseen enemy. Nothing like this has ever happened before. And when the government ordered and closed everything down, the government has a role to help fix it. And that's why we're doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. Congressman Mike Johnson, as always, appreciate the work that you do. You were vitally important in the clarifying of this, in not only the initial legislation, but in what unfolded in the last few days. So thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, and appreciate the great work you do.
Thank you, my friend. Keep it up.
All right. Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana, chairman of the Republican Study Committee.
You can find out more about Representative Johnson when you visit tonyperkins.com. We'd also encourage you to continue your support of our ongoing efforts with a financial gift when you visit tonyperkins.com and click on the donate link at the bottom of the page. That's tonyperkins.com.
What are you reading this spring? Check out frcblog.com for the latest commentary on the issues facing our culture today. The content on our blog is written by our policy experts and other FRC staff, as well as outside contributors. Some of our latest posts include, "To abandon the nuclear family ideal is to abandon being human." "Why does the abortion industry hate women?" "China uses coronavirus to oppress religious minorities." Stand for truth by staying informed at frcblog.com.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. With government money available to nonprofits through the stimulus package, some may be wondering whether their church or Christian nonprofit should take advantage of it. With some insight on the topic, Family Research Council's Director of Christian Ethics and Biblical Worldview, David Clausen, joined Tony to talk about it.
David, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
All right, let's just jump right into this. We don't have a lot of time, but churches, is there a problem with churches taking this money from a theological standpoint? Let's start there. Is there a theological position, a biblical position, saying churches should not take this money?
Yeah, it's a great question, one that I'm talking with a lot of pastors about. And just to be clear, congressional leaders, the Small Business Administration, even President Trump have made it very clear that churches are eligible to apply for relief. So it's not a matter of whether they're eligible and can apply for these relief funds. It's because they are. But it's a question of wisdom. Is it wise for churches to take money from the government? And really, I've thought about this, Tony. I think that every pastor, elder board, deacon body, who's ever responsible for making decisions for a local church, they need to pray about it. They need to consider their unique situation, their unique circumstances. But I do think they should at least know what is available to them in the Paycheck Protection Program, which is responsible for allocating $349 billion. One theological question that I think is a part of this conversation is, does accepting a loan, even if it's a forgivable loan during a time of emergency, does this mean you're not trusting God? I talked to a pastor about this yesterday, and, you know, my answer to that is I think obviously everyone needs to check their own heart. Yeah. You only know what your own motivations are. But I don't think there's anything inherently wrong about accepting money from the government in an emergency situation. You mentioned it, Tony. At the end of the day, it was the government in the name of public health and safety that ordered these churches not to meet. So personally, I don't think it's wrong to apply, but I do think that the overall question of applying for these loans, it's really a Romans 14 issue. This is a matter of individual conscience.
Yeah, I would agree. I can make an argument to say you can, and I would make an argument to suggest that you shouldn't. But at the end of the day, I think it's a matter that pastors and churches and other religious nonprofits should just pray about. In some cases, you may be completely, feel completely free to do so. In other cases, you may not sense a freedom from the Lord to do that. And I mean, I could use biblical examples. I mean, the Old Testament, mm-hmm. One of the first ones that comes to mind is Nehemiah. When he went back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and even before him, Ezra with the temple, and how that was funded by the government. So, there's certainly biblical precedents where money came from the government to advance the work of God's people. But again, I think what you said is wise. And I would encourage every pastor, every church to know, first off, it's available. In fact, you can find more information, all the information you need to find out about this. You can go to frc.org/church, and we've got the resources up there, the frequently asked questions about this program. There are no strings attached. You don't have to surrender your biblical views on issues. It is, as you said, a forgivable loan. You can pay it back if you want. Or it will be forgiven to you if you use it to cover your employees over this 2.5-month period.
That's absolutely. The theologians use the word, Tony, adiaphora, neither morally right or wrong. It's a matter of the conscience. And so I think if churches think they need this help after prayer and consultation, they should probably apply. And if their conscience says no, then I think they probably should pass on the opportunity to get one of these forgivable loans.
Yeah. But to be clear, I want everybody to know we were working to ensure that there was no impartiality in this, just because you were non-religious, you had opportunities that the religious did not, the religious organizations. But that does not mean, just because we fought for it, that you are required to take it. Again, that's between you and the Lord. David Clawson, thanks so much for joining us. As always, great to talk with you.
Thank you, Tony.
You can find out more about David Clawson when you visit tonyperkins.com. We'd also encourage you to help FRC continue to produce this radio program with a one-time gift or by becoming a stand member. You can donate when you visit tonyperkins.com and click on the donate link at the bottom of the page. That's tonyperkins.com.
We all can benefit from a good lecture. They can inform you and grow you. Well, Family Research Council's new weekly podcast features lectures by top thinkers from the archives of the FRC Speaker Series. Our podcast addresses issues like religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture, all from a biblical worldview. The Lecture Me podcast is available wherever podcasts are found, or visit frc.org/podcasts.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. Nearly everyone has been impacted by the social distancing guidelines in some way, but essential services are still ongoing. One of the categories of essential services are nonprofits providing social services, and that includes crisis pregnancy counseling. But last weekend, David Benham, chairman of the board of Cities for Life, was arrested for doing just that in a way that honored all social distancing guidelines. Joining Tony to talk about his experience is his longtime friend, David Benham.
David Benham, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me, Tony. I appreciate it.
All right. Okay. Let me make sure I get this right. There were how many of you out there providing counseling to these women who were going into an abortion clinic that apparently the governor and the mayor see as an essential service?
Well, when I arrived Saturday morning, there were three other sidewalk counselors. So there was just a skeleton crew of us. And it's very interesting, Tony, I was listening to your description, and you're right. The We had a local ordinance and then a state statute, and those were COVID-19 laws, and they wanted everybody to stay in shelter place, order in place. And so they deemed abortion clinics essential businesses, but here's what else they deemed essential businesses, and this is the key. They said that any federally recognized 501c3 public charity that provides social services is, and I'm going to quote, strongly encouraged to continue their services. So we are at Cities for Life, a federally recognized 501c3 public charity. And so we had every right to be there to offer these social services to these mothers. By the way, if a woman gets an abortion, they leave the facility. It's over. No one's following up with them. That's it. But with us, we're offering them, I mean, if you need housing assistance, what kind of critical care do you need? Do you have medical needs? We throw baby showers. And when we started in 2010, Tony, we have had over 5,000 mothers that have chosen life and have been plugged into our critical care network. In addition, we work hand in hand with the Department of Social Services, with our various ministries. We have over 90 families that are working with either foster or adoption with our local city. So we are a legitimate social service organization. And when I arrived on Saturday, or I was called Saturday morning, and one of our sidewalk counseling team, they said, listen, there's 15 officers out here and they're threatening arrest. So I was like, whoa, hold on a second. So I show up and we only had 3 sidewalk counselors. And the officer came to me and said, sir, you need to leave. And I said, excuse me, first of all, there are not more than 10 people here. Second of all, I'm here as the chairman of the board of Cities for Life, and we are a federally protected essential business. And he said, no, no, you are not. And anyway, we went back and forth, and you can see the video on our Facebook page or on anything that you've tweeted. And it's very clear that I was there. There was not 10 people there. The media is spinning this, saying that over 50, as a matter of fact, they said 50 protesters congregated, which is absolutely patently false. So they ended up arresting me, Tony. I'd never been arrested before.
You have, I think, Alliance Defending Freedom is actually going to take up your case?
Yeah, I believe so.
We have attorneys
out of the woodworks coming because they know they have a slam dunk case here.
Well, I was just going to say, as a former police officer and actually being on both sides of this, having seen how this unfolds, my prediction is the DA is going to drop those charges pretty quick, like a hot potato. But my advice would be for the attorneys to pursue this and make a case out of it. Because this is, you know, you can't arrest someone, you can't stop essential activities from going on, and then say, oh, well, we made a mistake, we're not going to take it any further. You can't wash your hands of it once you've done it.
Yeah, the very thing that they were arresting me for, and you'll see in the video online on social media, well, there's more than 10 people here. So first of all, there's not, but you go to a park, there's 500 people right there. There was 1,000 people at Home Depot. Those are all supposed essential, and you weren't making any arrests there. So, you know, one of these things, and I think this is an important point for me to make. On the one hand, I'm an American citizen, and yes, we are going to follow through with this. We are not. You don't just drop it and walk away and think this is going to be okay. We're going to go after this, and they know it. But that's important for our children and our children's children for their rights. But on the other hand, is their spiritual reality that we look at Christians in America today, and I mean, we are changing our behavior to protect ourselves because of COVID, and I think that's a good thing. But what is best is for us to change our behavior to protect the unborn, which is the best thing. And we have to step in. We have to take a look at this and realize, okay, while COVID is truly a global pandemic, it has not even scratched the surface of the amount of lives that abortion has taken globally. So this is an important wake-up call for us to say, okay, we want to love our neighbor. We want to practice social distancing. We do not want to gather with more than 10 people. We want to do these things, but we also have rights as American citizens. The government is not given unlimited power because of this COVID crisis, and we need to be a voice for the voiceless.
We play within the temporary rules, but they should abide by them as well. And clearly,
that's
in
right.
This case, they were not. David Benham, thanks so much for joining us. Always great to have you on the program, my friend.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate you, man.
You can find out more about David Benham when you visit tonyperkins.com. We'd also encourage you to continue your support of our ongoing efforts with a financial gift when you visit tonyperkins.com and click on the donate link at the bottom of the page. That's tonyperkins.com.
This is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch and president of the Family Research Council in Washington. America is in the midst of a national crisis as the coronavirus is spreading across the nation, causing state and federal leaders to take unprecedented actions. Folks, the threat is real. Do your part in slowing the spread. Following the guidance for social distancing, personal hygiene, and limits on public gatherings. And those public gatherings include churches. While we might be tempted to see this as an obstacle to ministry, if we look at it right, it can be an opportunity to minister. We have a great resource site for pastors and churches, the latest on COVID-19, but also creative ideas on how to continue to minister to your church and your community outside the box, the four walls of the church. Go to frc.org/church. That's frc.org/church.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. During this time of social distancing, many churches find themselves trying to figure out how to carry on ministry. One of those churches who has come up with a creative way of thinking outside the box is Trinity Church in Temple, Texas. And joining Tony Perkins to share his experience is Pastor Ed Dowell.
Pastor Dowell, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony. It's a blessing to be with you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for taking time out to join us. Let's talk a little bit about, you had, I think it was a member of your church had an idea, you guys jumped on it and began to minister to the, not just your church, but the community. Share with our listeners kind of what took place.
Well, it was pretty much birthed out of a need, wanting to make sure that we could still minister to the community, but with the church doors being shut, how are we going to do that? And just got to thinking with one of our folks here who wanted to do a prayer ministry. Let's do a drive-through prayer ministry. So we thought, well, how can we make this work? And I remembered I had a little 10x10 canopy at the house, and we brought it up here to the church and secured it to the church parking lot and got some little hand signs made up, set them out on the road front, and had a drive-through prayer ministry started within about an hour.
People eager to have people pray with. I mean, these weren't people in your church. These are just people in the community that saw the signs, right?
Oh, yes, yes. There's a good number of cars that come by our building here daily, probably 30 or 35,000 cars a day. And the needs are extreme, from one extreme to the other. People are coming in requesting prayer for just peace in this time because so many people are troubled, wanting protection over themselves, their families. We've prayed for marriages, children, finances. We prayed for President Trump that he would have wisdom on how to handle these situations.
So what you're saying is that this has been an opportunity for the church to minister in ways that you may not have done before.
Yes. And something else is we have not really been promoting any social media or very little social media within our church, but this has forced us to go into the social media realm. And I have been absolutely amazed at the number of people that we have contacted with through those realms. The prayer here on the street, the social media avenues has really been a blessing to us, and people are being ministered to.
To me, that's exciting. And I was talking about this yesterday with a pastor, how you go back to the beginning of the church, and everybody was comfortable there in Jerusalem, but they were driven out by opposition, by persecution, by famine, by difficulty, and took the gospel out to places that would not have gotten it otherwise. And yes. And this is an opportunity for us to move outside the four walls of the church, not that there's anything wrong with meeting in a church, but this is creating... I mean, as churches will embrace the challenge, they'll think creatively, think outside the box, act outside the box. And as you just described, and I think you can tell us more about how hungry people are for a sense of hope, help, and peace.
Yes, we're seeing that. We've had local police officers stop in for prayer. State troopers have stopped in for prayer. Nurses, We just had opportunity after opportunity to minister to the needs of people, people that probably would not have come into the church normally, but because they are in need and there is a readily available place they can pull into, they're doing it. We've had a few people who have said, I've driven by multiple times and I finally got the nerve to come in. And, you know, the Lord has met them and he's ministered to them. And we've seen people just blessed, just touched. We've seen healings. We've seen all kinds of good things happen simply because people were hungry and there was somebody there to meet the need and offer them Jesus.
So, Pastor Dow, explain a little bit just the mechanics of how it works when you set up the tent and what takes place then.
Well, we have the tent set up, and then we have a few signs on the road front that some of them are kind of like a little wire-formed sign with a paper in the middle, almost like a real estate sign. And we've got different people that are manning it. I have not been out there but just a few days in the last 3 weeks. But there's been somebody here every day for the last 21 days. And they'll be out waving at folks on the street. They'll be lifting up signs. One of my favorite is prayer is essential. And thankfully, we're in Texas. We have a governor that has actually mandated that churches are essential, which I'm so thankful
right.
for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we still have to work within the confines and limitations
right.
of no more than 10 and then the social distancing thing.
So the people pull up to the tent and they stay in their cars. You just pray for them there in their cars, right?
That's pretty much it. They'll pull up. We'll ask them if they want us to wear a mask or gloves. Some of them say yes, some of them say no. We've got hand sanitizer, gloves, and masks available. So we just try to do the best to meet the needs of the people for the level that they want us to minister to them in.
Well, I think, again, challenging times, but exciting times when we embrace the opportunities before us. Pastor Ed Dow, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, we appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Tony.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us, and I encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.